my thoughts this week was, why did Jesus do what he did? Why did Jesus do what he did? What was his purpose? And what does it have to do with me and you? You know, we're in this season that's coming up to Easter, and which is the biggest day of the Christian season. I mean, it's the biggest day ever, right? We celebrate what Christ did. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible in Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about Jesus' purpose and his pursuit of us. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 and 14, it says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wander away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out and search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. Heavenly Father, help me today. Speak. Lord, help my words not be my words, but your words. Lord, because we trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my first thing I find here is God's intense concern for the lost. And in this passage, Jesus, he paints this vivid picture of a shepherd leaving behind the 99 sheep to search for that one that wandered off. You ever watch sheep graze? You ever watch how sheep graze? They, you know, goats, if you remember, I used to raise goats. We had, Lee and I had 85 head of nanny goats. And there was times we'd have 150 goats on the little farm we had. And let me tell you, it was a lot of work. But one thing I learned with raising goats all those years is goats are stupid. They really are. I mean, there's just no other word that just sums it all up, is that goats are, they're just stupid. And I mean, we had electric fence, and you have to buy the most powerful electric fence that you can buy. And they touched it every day. I mean, you would think, I mean, cows, they don't do that. Cows get into it. They know where it's at. Horses the same way. They kind of know. I mean, they don't want anything. They don't want any part of it, but not goats. Goats have to touch it every day just to see if it's still there. And it is every day. If you're working around the farm, you hear pop, whee, and they're running away. You know, you don't even have to know what happened because it's just that way. But, you know, when you look at sheep, you know, sheep graze in a way that their heads are all down and they're not paying attention. But one thing I've learned about sheep is sheep are dumb. And I don't know if that's why Jesus used sheep to represent us. Sometimes we're pretty dumb. We do dumb things. And sometimes we have our head down. And I've watched groups of sheep as they graze. And sometimes you see one grazing and their head's down and they just keep grazing. And the next thing you know, they look up and the rest of the flock of sheep are somewhere else and they're off by themselves. And so we find that sometimes we wander when we're grazing, not paying attention. When we're off grazing, our heads are down. And going back to the scripture, this illustration of the scripture, God's intense concern for every individual. You think about this. He who strays away from his presence, he cares about you and me. If you wander away, and sometimes that can happen, and it happens even when we're not aware and when we're not paying attention, sometimes we stray away from God, and sometimes it's just a little bit, and a little bit at a time as we're grazing, we get further and further away. But God still cares. He's still concerned, and he's willing to leave the 99 and come after you and find you. The shepherd's action mirrors the father's heart, demonstrating his unwavering commitment to finding that lost. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." So now we find a purpose. Why did Jesus come? He came to find the lost, to seek and to save. This Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus, he reveals a profound purpose for his ministry on earth. He came not for just the righteous or the self-assured, but specifically for those who were lost, those who are spiritually wandered away from him. This verse also highlights the heart of God's mission to seek and to rescue those who are in need of salvation. Jesus here as a shepherd, he pursues the lost sheep, and God actively seeks out those who have drifted away from him. Drifted, grazed away from the flock. You know, God's pursuit of the lost is rooted in his deep love and compassion, which is talked about in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 and 16. And we talked about that, I think, last Sunday night. Such a beautiful picture here. I love this verse. And if you read through this whole chapter, you need to just read this whole chapter. And it says this, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day." Other translations, it says, "I will find the broken and mend them. I will find them. I myself will go." You know, God is in pursuit of you and I. When you graze away from him spiritually, God himself is in pursuit of you. Think about that. The picture of the shepherd diligently searching for the lost sheep. And I think that really reflects the intimate care and determination that God has to gather his people to himself. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." I think there, in 2 Peter, God is patient. He shows his patience and his desire for all to come to repentance. That's why even after 2,000 years, he's still waiting for some of you. He's waiting for your neighbor. He's waiting for your friend. He's waiting for that family member. He's still patient and waiting for that person to come to him. Think about that. God's timing is rooted in his mercy and in his longing for reconciliation with every individual. And this truth, it reflects the character of our Heavenly Father, whose mercy really knows no bounds. In Max Lucado, if you've ever read anything from Max Lucado, he says this in one of his books, "You're never so lost that God cannot find you. His grace reaches lower than your deepest depth and shines brighter than your darkest night." I like that. You know, there's also, we find, is the shepherd's joy over that found sheep. And Jesus here, he emphasizes the shepherd's joy upon finding the lost sheep. And it really highlights the joy in heaven when a sinner repents, which is also found in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, where it says, "In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 90 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Luke 15:7, it really illustrates that profound joy in heaven when a lost soul is found and restored. And this passage really shows the immense value God places on every individual and his delight when they repent and return back to him. Amen. God's heart rejoices over every individual, regardless of how far, now listen, how far you may have drifted away, how far you've gone away from the flock, God still rejoices. The shepherd's joy symbolizes the Father's joy when each of us are restored back to the flock. And we should celebrate when somebody gets saved. Amen? That's a celebration. And they celebrate it in heaven. The angels rejoice when one repents. And so should we. The parables of the lost sheep, and when you read the about the lost coins and the prodigal son who comes back home, there in Luke, it highlights God's joyous response to repentance. He celebrates our return with open arms. I can just picture the father when the prodigal son comes home and he sees him coming down, and he's just there with open arms, ready to receive him back with great joy. It's hard. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. Let's have a celebration. He celebrates the return. Charles Spurgeon, he captures, I think, this truth it really beautifully. The Lord's joy is in the recovery of his fallen creatures. As a shepherd rejoices over the recovery of his sheep, so does the Lord rejoice over the recovery of his lost ones. Perfect set. God also has an unyielding desire for salvation, we find here. And that's where Jesus here, he concludes by affirming the Father's will that none of his little ones should perish. And he echoes that really in John 3:16, such a familiar scripture that it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only Son, his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." His desire for salvation, so that none of us would perish. He wants not one here this morning to perish. Not one. It highlights the essence of God's sacrificial love for humanity. It really, to me, demonstrates that salvation is a gift available to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? It really emphasizes God's desire for eternal life for every person. It's not that just some are called. It's all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear me? I don't know. The definition of all is different in my book, but all means all. That's every one of us here. Every one of us in these houses right over here. Every one of us in the housing back here. Everyone that's in this housing is over here. That's everyone. That's all. Whether they go to church or not, God's desire is for no one to perish. So we think about the cross. The cross stands as the ultimate demonstration of God's desire for salvation. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet still sinners. That's love. Especially when God knew it before the foundations of the earth were ever created, built. He knew it. He knew it. And yet, he still did it. This is an act of love that was extended to us even when we were undeserving of God's love. And then Jesus willingly laid down his life to reconcile us to God and to prove God's love for humanity. Anybody remember Billy Graham? I think most of us here know that name. Billy Graham said this one time. He said, God's heart is open to all who will turn to him. He seeks out the lost and offers them the gift of salvation, free and unmerited. That's good. I think all these passages that I've spoke this morning, they reveal God's relentless pursuit of humanity and his love and his desires for reconciliation with those who are lost. And they show us a compassionate God who actively seeks to bring salvation and restoration to all who call upon his name. So I would say, church, this morning, I would like for us to reflect this morning on the truth here. And it's revealed right there in Matthew chapter 18. Just as a shepherd seeks the lost sheep, God pursues each of us with this unwavering love and compassion. And today, I want you to think about where you are in your spiritual life right now. And if you kind of drifted away, or if you find yourself distant from God, that you can know this, that he's searching for you. He's looking for you. He's calling for you. And I would ask you to respond to God today. Respond to his call of grace and return to his loving care and embrace. I think when we acknowledge God's patient pursuit, we realize where his heart is. And I would ask you to embrace his forgiveness and restoration through Jesus Christ. One challenge that I would make for you this morning is to share the good news of salvation with those who are lost around you. Jesus told his disciples when he ascended into heaven, he said, go and do all that I've taught you. Go and do all that I've showed you. His purpose was to come and to save those who were lost and bring them back to the right relationship with the Father. And he says, now I want you to go do the same thing. I want you to have that same compassion that I had for those who are around you. I wanted you to love them, those who have strayed away from the faith. Have compassion for them. Relentlessly pursue them. Paul uses the words, compel them to come in. Compel. That's just really close to knocking them over the head and dragging them through the door. But share the good news. This is God's heart for the lost souls and the ones who have wandered astray, and it should be ours as well. Amen. It breaks my heart to see people hurting in this community that we live in. And it's not always the one sitting on the street corner or the ones that's walking down the streets at night. It's not just them. It's the lonely person that doesn't have anybody in their life and they feel abandoned. And I could go on. But God loves you. And he loves them too. So in closing, we're going to have communion time here in just a few minutes. And as the ladies come, I would like for you to search your hearts this morning. Because only you know yourself better than anyone other than God knows you. You know where your heart is. You know if you've strayed, what your spiritual temperature is, how close to God you are. You know. And it's a time when we take communion, it's a time to reflect. But I want to remind you of God's unending pursuit of the lost and his desire for all to come to repentance. And so let us respond today as we look into ourselves as we take communion today together. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that someone today leaves here changed, transformed by your Holy Spirit and into a new person, maybe restored back better than they were before. Lord, but I pray that all of us leave here filled with your holy presence. Lord, that we may be good disciples and to share the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ in God's love and mercy and grace. So I pray in Jesus' name, amen.